I want to open this up with one of my favorite quotes because it relates, and I think that you all will enjoy this. Negro Day's the best. I wish every day were Negro Day. Thank you.
Can you remind me, where is that from?
That is from the iconic play turned film musical Hairspray, starring Queen Latifah and John Travolta.
That movie never, is Nikki Blonsky was in that?
Yeah, yeah, that crazy white lady who family beat up that black family in the airport.
Yeah. And I remember when the movie came out, I loved the commercial the first time I saw the trailer, because she used to be tearing them dance moves up.
She used to be going. Light on her feet. She used to be going.
She used to eat that up. But I just never found the comfort in myself to watch the movie. So
the movie's fantastic.
Have that coverage.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I got us covered there. If it aired in the movie theaters between the years 99 and really 2014, I was there on a Friday and Saturday watching whatever was airing that weekend. So I got us covered for a nice little chunk of time.
Especially if Queen Latifah was in it. You've seen all
absolutely.
Of her movies.
I've seen all of her movies. I need to get my degree in like Queen Latifahology. I know so much about Miss Dana. And I hope this makes it across your desk one day. I would love to just chat with you.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you for lending your knowledge and your academic expertise in that field today. And I do think it relates to the film we watched today. So let's tell our listener homegirls what we watched this week.
We tuned into Sweetwater, currently available to stream on Hulu, released last year, written and directed by Martin Guigui, starring Everett Osborne, Jeremy Piven, Eric Roberts, and Robert Richard.
All right, let's start the show.
The New Chitlin Circuit.
Welcome back to the New Chitlin Circuit, the only podcast dedicated to Black indies only. My name is Lex.
And I'm Sid.
And each week we watch a Black independent movie. Why? Because we love them. And this week we're going to get things started with our 60-second challenge, where I tell you the plot of the movie in 60 seconds or less, and then we'll get going into our general thoughts. We ain't going to spoil it for you, just in case you want to go watch it. But right after that, all bets are off. We're going to talk about everything about the movie, scene by scene, how we're feeling about it. And Sid, how do we end our reviews here?
Each and every week, we end our reviews with a nomination for our very highly coveted Who Came to Act Award. And at the end of the season, only one of those nominated actors will be crowned our Who Came to Act Award winner for season 5.
All right, let's kick things off with our 60-second challenge.
Yes, this week's challenge is brought to us by Motormouth Maybell's Recordings. Okay. It's also a Hairspray reference.
Start the clock, man.
Okay, let's go ahead and get started now.
Okay, so way back in the day, the NBA used to be just white men, and that's when they could just enjoy themselves. So before the league got integrated, though, Black men used to play in a separate league, just like baseball had a Negro League. And the Harlem Globetrotters, who was actually founded in Chicago, were a very popular team, all Black men doing very theatrical basketball. One team player on that team was called Sweetwater, Nat Clifton. And this is a real-ish biography of his journey from the Harlem Globetrotters to being one of the first Black men to play in the NBA. He played for the New York Knickerbockers. So this is it's a biopic.
12 seconds left. That was fantastic. Stunning. I mean, that covered it.
Stunning.
Yeah, stunning. Yeah. It's great.
Nice. This is our first biopic, no?
It is our first biopic. Yes, it is.
Yeah, because we real diversified. It's what it gets.
We are. Mm-hmm. We keep our portfolio real wide. All right.
And this is one, what is this? Maybe third period piece? Like where that's actually back... set back in the day?
Back in time, yeah.
We did Hal King.
Uh-huh. the 90s Philly one.
The 90s Philly one, Fatally Flawless. That's what that
Fatally
was called.
Fatally Flawless, yeah.
We did Alice. That was set in the 60s.
Alice was, yep. Keke you're right.
Palmer.
You're
right. So yeah. I think this is number four of a historical type of movie. Which is hard to do because we try and find them. We try and find like indies that are a little bit different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, listen, you got to get the props right if you're going to take us back in time. So that's that takes time and money, effort. So we always appreciate that.
Props, makeup, hairstyling, clothes. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of money and commitment to do a period piece.
Dialogue, because you cannot talk about, you know, something.
Now we just low-key dragging the movie because I actually have some stuff to talk about in terms of that. I do too.
That's why I brought it up. But yeah, we can get into that when we get into our
what you out here being messy for?
In the review.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we really set the stage there. We know what happened in the movie, and let's get on to our general thoughts on Sweetwater.
All right, y'all. Before we get into our general thoughts on Sweetwater, I wanted to shout out a few of y'all, our listener homegirls. This is a personal favorite, both of us. A new subscriber to our newsletter. Shout out to whoever you are, but at Too Cute. We love the username. Shout out to you. Thank you for subscribing to our newsletter. Also, I wanted to shout out HT, we got your listener suggestion. We are adding that to our list for the season. And hey, you might even hear us review the film on the show. So stay tuned. And for all of our other listener homegirls out there, if you aren't already, make sure to subscribe to our newsletter. We only send it out once a month. All right. So we don't bombard your inboxes. It just comes out once a month to keep up to date with what we got going on. And you can share with us as well. And you can subscribe at thenewchitlincircuit.com. All right, y'all, let's get back to the show.
So, Sydney, what did you think of Sweetwater, our first biopic?
Our first biopic. Okay, so you know this about me. Our friends probably do as well. I am like a biopic finder. If there is one to be watched, I have seen it. Or I'm like waiting, you know, in the rafters for it to be released so that I can eventually watch it. So I love a good biopic, which also probably makes me kind of critical about biopics because I know what I like, you know. Not to say I did not enjoy this movie because I didn't know anything about Nat Clifton Sweetwater prior to watching this. Not that it didn't occur to me that the NBA used to be majority white or all white for that matter. I just never really thought about how it was integrated at some point. So that was interesting to kind of, you know, see that unfold and play out. I do wish, however, for this movie to be about Sweetwater, that we learned more about his actual life and not just about this kind of like slice of life of being on the precipice of integrating the NBA. I feel like we got a few flashbacks. We got two flashbacks, actually, I counted, of his early life. And that just wasn't enough, in my opinion, about a movie that's supposed to be, you know, detailing the life of this man who, after watching, I went and, you know, Googled, and he had a great life. So I would have loved to, you know, see more of that play out in the movie. It did have its, you know, white saviors. That was very prevalent in this film. You know, just it is what it is. That's what happened. This one isn't my favorite on the biopic list. But I'm glad that we got to, you know, watch and we're getting to review on the show. What did you think of Sweetwater?
Thanks. Hated it. I thought it was bad. the filmmaking was fine. It was boring. It was way too long. And to make matters worse, you sat up there and then made me watch all of these white men talk about this grown black man as if he's some type of toddler. I felt like I was watching The Blind Side. what it felt like. Were. It felt like I was watching just a movie full of Sandra Bullocks. And like Sweetwater was just like, just standing there. Yep. And you're gonna keep hearing that from me. But it's good in that I learned a little bit about Nat Clifton from the Googling I did at the 1 hour mark of this movie when I paused it and said,
when is he going to finally be integrated a bit? Because when we going to get integrated around here? Let's get to that point. That's what we're building up to.
Right. So it made me mad, though, this movie, because it spent so much time with white people. And yes, to make matters the worst, they were mm-hmm. not interesting white people. At all. They were all. Not. Okay? Yeah. It wasn't like watching. You ever seen Draft Day?
I have seen Draft Day.
That mm-hmm. was good. Mm-hmm. With Kevin Costner? Like, yeah, with Kevin Costner. Yeah. It wasn't yep. like Draft Day, where it was like interesting yeah. white men with like real stakes, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Doing this yeah. very icky thing of like training black so. Men and like yeah. talking about black men like
how they talk about black animal men. Yeah. Stock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's already
it was slavish.
It's a little slavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Kevin Costner was pretty good in that. It was interesting. He was. This was not that. So yeah, you really like biopics. I love a sports movie down. And so this made me very critical of that because there were a lot of basketball mm-hmm. scenes that were like, yawn, like come
very
on.
Much so.
Boring.
It lasted too long. Yeah. Like this should be like high octane adrenaline. Like basketball is fun. I like to watch a good game every now and then.
Right. This was like that Disney movie. Yeah.
Oh, not Double
movie.
Team.
Double Team.
With the white girls.
Yes. This was like
oh,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, girl, mm-hmm. I wouldn't recommend this one to you. You should get into, this is to you, listen to homegirl, you should just mm-hmm. go ahead and get into a click hole right now. Type in Nat Clifton or Sweetwater on your phone and then look him yep. up and then look up like Earl Lloyd and like all the first black NBA mm-hmm. players. That would be
that's
more
good.
Interesting. Do that for that's like good. 10 or 15 yeah. minutes. Don't spend 2 hours watching this. That's my recommendation.
I support that. I second that. Yeah, let's move this motion.
Approved. Yep. Okay. Thanks for letting me get that off my chest. If I didn't get it out up top, I would have just festered, you know?
Let's get into it. Let's run through this scene by scene.
Yeah. Here on the new Chitlin' Circuit, we're going to start with the first scene of the movie, which for the titular character of this movie, Sweetwater, mm-hmm. Nat Sweetwater Clifton, the first scene of this movie is actually after all the events happen. This is when he's later yeah. in life. We see an older Sweetwater driving a cab, and a young white man gets in the car. The young white man is a sports journalist, and he's talking mm-hmm. sports. And Sweetwater, who is the cab driver in this opening scene, you know, just kind of says, oh, Michael Jordan may be all right, but I know plenty of players who, you know, can right. play just as, you know, did just as much, even more when he was mm-hmm. younger, when they were younger. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then the rest of the film, his biopic is a flashback that of stories he's telling this sports journalist while he's driving the cab.
Yep.
Pretty whack way to start a biopic.
I agree with you. I agree. And the entire movie, I was comparing this to 42. And it's yeah. already hard to compare somebody to compare anything to something that Chadwick Boseman starred in. I feel yeah. like that's just kind of unfair.
High bar.
But like, it was a high bar. But 42 is, even though I say 42 because that also is kind of a slice of life, like mm-hmm. biopic. It doesn't cover all of Jackie Robinson's life, but it does give us a really great look into him, his family, what he was going through kind of like mentally. And we got, you know, some of like the white man banter with, I forgot the club owner at the time, his name, Ricky, something like that. Yeah. We got all that stuff, but like, I felt like, oh my God, I have this kind of like personal connection now outside of like what I learned about Jackie Robinson in school. Like, yeah. what is his wife up to now? Like, what are his children doing? Like that kind of thing. That was great to walk away from after watching 42. Mm-hmm. And it also didn't start off with this weird kind of like, come on, young buck, let me tell you about back in my day before yeah. the NBA was, you know, that was just, I could tell they were trying to be kitschy, but it didn't land for me.
Real whack. I haven't seen 42 yet, and I know.
Really? I
know.
I didn't know that about you.
I haven't seen it yet, but you know what I have seen? I believe this was on NBC. They had a sitcom called yeah. Pitch.
Oh, like yes. With, my homegirl who was playing baseball. I can't think of her name.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't remember mm-hmm. the actress's name. Beautiful black yeah. girl. She was integrating a baseball team. Mm, and she was the first mm-hmm. woman to play. This isn't history. This is just a fiction show.
It was good was, though.
Yeah, integrating a baseball team, which when you really think about it, mm-hmm. why isn't girls, because they don't even be, they
playing
don't tackle
baseball.
Each other.
There's, yeah, I was going to say there's no contact for real there.
Yeah.
That's anyway, a good call, yeah.
They should integrate the. Yeah.
Her name's Kylie Bunbury, yep. The actress.
Pitch. Yeah. But it was the same type of thing. Like, we got mostly story of her leading up to the first game and, like, mm-hmm. having to, like, change how she plays and having to, like get, now she's in a locker room with these guys. And, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just the actual day-to-day of what it really looked like to integrate mm-hmm. into a
right,
team.
Right, right. And from her perspective, not from the perspective from of perspective, white men, when right. it's supposed to be a movie about Sweetwater.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I want to define what perspective really means. Because, yes, I understand maybe some of the white people in this movie who were real people. They had Joe something who was the coach of the Knicks. Palchik. Yeah.
I think
he was the coach of the
Knicks.
Yeah. He's a story here. And Al Saperstein was the founder of the Harlem Globetrotters. Mm-hmm. But when I say this movie is not from Sweetwater's perspective, the definition of that is after the games are over, we go home with the white people. We don't home with Sweetwater. We don't see mm-hmm. where he sleeps at night. We go home and have dinner in this movie with the white people. That's my rule of thumb. Who do we go home with?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's a good call out. Yeah.
Just made it up right here today.
Defining moment. I like that though. Yeah. You gotta do the wrist people, you know, you got your fingers, your pointer finger, your thumb, they're barely touching. You just got to turn that perspective. Yeah.
So this is how we have the biopic framed. He's a taxi driver telling this man a story because they're on the way to O'Hare Airport in Chicago. So it's going to be a long drive from downtown. And the first thing we see is...
We go to like a faux championship game. It's the Harlem Globetrotters playing... At the time, it was the Lakers, but they weren't in LA.
It was in Minneapolis.
Minneapolis Lakers.
Because they got lakes
they are
there.
Oh.
Minnesota's the land of 1,000 lakes.
Wow.
10,000 lakes, I'm sorry. That's what, LA ain't got no lakes.
LA ain't got no lakes. Yeah. You are so right about the way that happened.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Utah Jazz. Damn Jazz in Utah.
Ain't no jazz in Utah. You ain't never lied about that. I know it's in Utah. And it ain't jazz.
You talk about the Mormon church like it's a conspiracy. It's a public institution. Like they're not.
Sure.
Anyway,
these mics are hot. I don't want anybody coming for me about said denomination.
Not a gang.
You will lie. You will lie. Because why is they currently in Harlem trying to get me to come to church on Sunday? I don't understand that.
Okay, I can't hold you on that one.
Okay. They is standing on corners recruiting. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, Sydney.
That's gang like
activity.
Away from
them, okay?
I do. I say no thank you, and I keep walking.
Okay.
You know. Yeah. Anyway.
You're cutting up today. So, you're right. The first thing we see when we actually start the story is this exhibition game between the Globetrotters and the then Minneapolis Lakers. And the Minneapolis Lakers were the best team in the NBA. And they had just won the championship. So they had this exhibition game. And the Globetrotters beat them narrowly. They beat their white asses.
They did.
You know?
I'm down.
So everybody's feeling good about it. You know, everybody's all hyped up. And obviously, you know, the white men in the crowd, because this is at Madison Square. So the white men in the crowd are like, you know, interested in Sweetwater because he's the best on the team in this movie. I don't know if that's the real truth.
Yeah.
But
what I noticed immediately is kind of how we talked about, even though in draft day, they were talking about the black players as if they were cattle and not, you know, athletes and people. It was kind of the same thing here, but it just gave me the extra ick. And immediately it was, and look at how big his hands are in that wingspan. Like, there's some other ways you can say that he is a great basketball player and not objectify his body parts like that. Like, hate as if it. You about to put him in the field. That was crazy to me.
Did you catch later on in the movie? So there's two white, there's three white men in this movie mm-hmm. that the writer and director of this movie wants me to believe are pretty good guys. So yes. The first is the founder and the coach of the Harlem Globetrotters, mm-hmm. who is Al Saperstein. We'll get to him. Then there's mm-hmm. Joe, who's the coach of the Knicks, who wants yep. Sweetwater to join his team and to integrate. He doesn't want to integrate the NBA. He just wants Sweetwater to join his team.
So he can win. He want the Knickerbockers yeah. to be on top. That's about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's this other guy, completely nameless to me, meaningless, no mm-hmm. real character, just white man, who yeah. works on the NBA like commission or something. You know? Yeah. So later on in the movie, because they're all sniffing around, circling around Sweetwater, one of the men goes, did you catch him go, let me see those hands.
I yeah. did. And I was like, ugh, why? Shiver
down my spine.
Yeah. Ugh.
Ill.
And I'm sure that that was actual conversations happening, because when, what year was NBA integrated? 19 what?
I don't know. 1940.
40 something. Yeah. I don't know. NBA in 1951 yeah. season. Yeah.
Way
So I'm sure, yeah, long time ago. I'm sure that was the conversations happening, you know, in these boardrooms about mm-hmm. the black players. And if that, and it came across, you know, just as I'm disgusted I would have been in 1950 if I would have heard somebody talking about black people like this then as I do now. But it just really rubbed me the wrong way already, because for a movie that's supposed to be about a black person, and he is essentially a background character in this movie.
Yeah.
And then for
he's
that
a pawn
to be
at best.
He's a pawn, yeah. And for that to be all the conversation about him, just yeah, mm-hmm. did not like it at all.
Hated it. Yeah. And this hated is where it goes yeah. from worse to worser. Because mind you, mm-hmm. homegirl, we're in the first 5 minutes of the movie. So
yeah.
the game happens, he's in the locker room, and these white men, you know, they circling around, you want to talk to him, whatever. And he looks down at his own hands, and we get a crossfade, fade to black and white flashback. And do you know yeah. what comes up on the screen, bitch? Cotton.
I'm sorry, cotton picking is not for me.
How the fuck did we squeeze cotton picking into a sports movie
yes,
in 1940 something?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all act like he was playing Peach Basket Toss It Up in 1840 or something. This shit was 1940.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you nuts? So this white director decides to go ahead and give us a crossfade flashback to
yeah.
Sweetwater when he was a child, loading up cotton on the back of a mm-hmm. damn wooden truck. Yep. Back in Georgia or something. I don't know what the hell.
Now, he was, I think, because when I looked him up, he's from Arkansas. He's from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this is the scene that's supposed to be his mama sending him off with his daddy to the big city, to Chicago.
Yes.
That's where.
Part of the Great Migration.
Right.
They moved
exactly.
up, you know, they moved west, Midwest.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
A pause about the Great Migration. I thought of you. Last week, because I was doing like I've gotten my Twitter down to like weekly just glance. I was doing my weekly glance like on my computer, and apparently somebody got dragged because she was like, a black woman tweeted out like, oh, why Chicago niggas sound so country, but like she said it mean. And so, she was like, damn, I'm sorry, y'all. Like, imagine 1,000 niggas dragging you, calling you stupid, and yelling at you to read Warmth from Other Suns.
Me. It's me. Do you not know the words of Isabel Wilkerson? Have you not read the Warmth of Other Suns? I would not shut up about that book when I was reading it. You're right.
It didn't bother me because I was soaking up the knowledge, because it was a thick-ass book and I didn't want to read it.
It's a thick-ass book. Yeah.
I was like, thank God Sydney's the one reading this. Tell me what you read this week, girl. Tell me what you read today.
How far you got through the book this time?
Did they make it up there yet?
Is they there yet? Is it a new
that
life?
Made me think of you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That still be me when I see stuff like that on Twitter. I'm like, damn, y'all really don't be reading. I just don't
you was
care
one
to read.
Of the niggas. She was like, imagine 1,000 niggas yelling Warmth of Other Suns to you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So yeah, he was a part of the Great Migration. He was born in Arkansas, moved up to Chicago. This scene is so mm-hmm. fucking stupid, though.
It's so
like,
dumb.
Why the cotton? That's weird.
Yeah.
Second, he gets, like, he scrapes his hand on something. Then his mama makes him sugar water to drink.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's that? That's not a thing.
It's Negro. That's Negro. Negro based. Sugar water's Negro.
Who the fuck came up with that?
Before we had Kool-Aid, we had sugar water.
What did that have to do with him hurting his hand?
It's just to let the viewer know that he's black for real.
And this is where the problem starts here.
Yeah. I do want to shout out the little boy who played him, though, because he always pops up in these kind of roles as just like younger version of some black man in a period piece. He was also Lil Randall in This Is Us. Okay.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah, you know what? That was him.
Shout out to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, this is the scene that they wanted to use him on. Which is ridiculous.
Because he's a good actor. He was good as little five-year-old Randall.
Yeah. There were no bad actors in This Is Us.
That's true. And This Is Us. It was really a high mark.
They put the baddest really heifers on the floor.
They came to work every day. Yeah. The baddest heifers on the floor. They did.
Yeah.
They
did. So this scene is just meaningless words and like platitudes that his mama tells him when he's going out
to
the big
us,
city.
I guess some background how eventually he did end up in Chicago, but that's really it's literally it's a 3 minute if that snapshot of that, and then he rides off in the wooden pickup truck with his daddy.
Another big problem I had with the filmmaking of this movie, would it have hurt to put a damn time and place title card. If it's meant to be historical, doesn't it matter where they were and when?
Absolutely.
So we just, that's what bothers me about this cotton picking scene. There was no picking, but they had a big barrel of cotton. That's what bothers me about it. It doesn't even say 20 years ago in Arkansas. I had to look that up.
Yeah.
It just makes it seem like generic black rural country. And why were they in a wooded area if there was that much cotton
picking? Cotton. They would be living
like,
that's
wide,
not how
open,
that goes.
Flat place.
Yeah. You need a lot of land to grow cotton.
And grow exactly. It didn't even
a lot
make
of open
sense.
Land to grow cotton. Yeah.
Yeah. It just has such a disrespect for the truth of like this story and like the truth of like black life in America. Pissed me off
I agree. It always shows because I feel like there's always a constant thing about like black southerners, and there's not always a lot of respect for the people who either decided to remain in the South during the Great Migration, or you know, or even those like now currently living like born and raised in the South. And it's just like, these are also very intelligent, smart people with lots of great culture and like all of their own things, and y'all just act like just because they're in the South, it's just a bunch of bumpkins down there. And that's just not how that go. Like, it's bumpkins everywhere.
Exactly. It's that would be my presidential campaign slogan. I'm for the bumpkins, .. everywhere.
Everywhere. I like that. This ain't about blue states or red states, okay?
Bumpkins everywhere.
Bumpkins everywhere.
You know?
I like that.
So we can come back to damn color from this black and white bullshit flashback. That was my least favorite scene in the whole movie.
Least favorite scene. We'll get to it.
But that was really, okay.
we'll get
Please
to it.
Please don't let us pass by. Make sure we talk about it. Okay.
I won't. I will.
Okay. So we come back. We in the locker room. Rah, rah, rah. The white men want to meet him. Like the NBA guys want to meet him. And, you know, it seems like Sweetwater, it's just kind of, we don't know who he is as a character. So we don't understand his reaction at all, you know?
Not at all.
But
at this point, he's just a black man who can play basketball. That is the most we got. from what we know about Sweetwater.
Just no personality at this point in the movie.
Yeah.
So we do see later on that the Globetrotters are trotting around the country in this old rickety bus that their coach Al is driving around. I can commend, I can commend the production design for securing a working old truck that they could actually drive around.
True.
And some of the suiting was appropriate for the 1940s. Yes. And that was cool.
Yeah. It looked like a lot of wool. Which would have been accurate.
Looked like a lot of wool, a lot of tweed.
A lot of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do take strong issue with the actor that played Joe. The actor that played Joe did not cut his beard, and they did not make him cut his beard or grow it out. That beard owns an iPhone. That beard that beard is 2024. Yeah. And it was ridiculous. Nope. That's
later
not how men
in
did
the movie
beards.
When we get to the draft, they one of the players, he got waves. Like he's swimming. Like, and the freshest lineup I ever seen in my life. Like, he just got the chalk dusted off. Like, sir.
He had a haircut so modern. Like, his haircut could only be made possible by the latest technology. Like, it was just
up today.
Way too clean.
Yeah.
360 waves in 1948?
No,
crazy.
Sir. No, sir. Mm-mm. You either had you, you was getting the grease done, like Malcolm.
Back. Grease tiny,
back,
tiny
okay.
Fro. Tight.
That's it. Tight. Real tight.
Tight.
Keep it tight. Tight fro. Okay. And it wasn't no lineup for real, for real. It was like, you could see your hairline, but it wasn't the sharpity how y'all do now.
This
I like the sharpness. I like it, but it wasn't that.
They didn't have that back
It's like,
then.
Yeah,
the
natural
the
curvature of the head was how it was back then. That was still cute. Okay,
a period piece. I expect a black man to look like the brother from If Beale Street Could Talk. That's what I
absolutely
expect to see.
Absolutely.
You
that's
can
good,
wolf
yeah.
for a week or two. You don't have to.
You
why
can.
Would you come with this haircut all clean
you
like
totally
that?
Can. Yeah.
But it
yeah.
bothered me that the white man didn't cut his beard when the actor who plays Sweetwater has a great, very time-appropriate mustache. And he looked right. He looked real good.
He did.
It was a perfect casting, you know?
I agree.
So, yeah.
Let's fast forward a bit.
Please.
Because I do want to get to the scene, what I mentioned. Because a lot of what happened from what we just said to this scene is a lot of the same. We just see the Globetrotters kind of on their, like, Chitlin' Circuit tour game schedule. So they're going, like, to small town after small town to play basketball for teams that will allow them to even play against them. Finally, I think we're
underpaid.
Back. They're being underpaid, by the owner of the team, who's a slimy man, but they try to make it seem like he was such a nice guy in the end for essentially selling his player to the Knickerbockers. So I don't know what city we were in. This is where title cards really could have come in handy. I have no idea what city we're in when this scene happened and how this, how he didn't get chased out with pitchforks regardless, no matter what city he was in during this.
And it showed
time
a lack
period.
Of research because you couldn't have looked up the actual game schedule, the actual, no.
Something.
Just, you know, anyway.
They're just anywhere. He's at like a lounge and he's meeting up with, the coach of the Knicks or whatever. And they're going through and talking about, you know, we want you on the team, but, you know, it's really hard to push this integration thing through with the NBA, yada, yada, yada. But Sweetwater is enamored by this white blues singer, white woman blues singer. And her voice was fine. I don't think it's the girl's voice. But what he proceeds to do after is take her to a juke joint. Which also, like, what city are you in? Because juke joints are very specific to, like to certain areas. I don't.
For a moment, I thought they were in New York. I thought they had gone back to New York since I saw Joe, the Knicks coach. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, they're back in the city. And then that pissed me off because I was like, you mean to tell me the only scene, the first scene, halfway through the movie, the first scene we get of Sweetwater away from the team and away from white people, he goes to a white blues club.
A white club.
In 19... 19-
where he was let in.
Are you
where he
nuts?
Was let in.
Where and he was apparently also, let in. But it's like...
He's let in. And he left with this white woman.
That? Why would he
in
do
public.
That?
In public. Yeah. Why would he as a big black man, okay,
yes.
during this time period,
why
even
would
think
he want
to risk
be
his
there?
Life like that?
Yeah.
So true.
Like, if so I true. Was alive during that time, I would have suffered greatly due to the racism yeah. and the Jim Crow and shit. Mm-hmm. But I would have been turned up at the Savoy. Mm-hmm. Are you nuts?
Are you crazy?
Why would I be in a white club?
I'm playing a Lindy Hop. Come on, stop playing with
Are
me.
You dumb?
Right, right.
Anyway, I'm trying
well,
to
turn me around. Let's Lindy Hop. Shit, hello.
Please. Do the Watusi.
Something.
Club. Anyway, mm-mm. it didn't make no sense.
Not Sweetwater. He then was able to leave this lounge, like publicly, with this white woman. This is also pre-Loving v. Virginia, which didn't pass for another, I don't know,
period.
Like 15, yep. 16 years after he would have, you know, integrated the NBA. So, and nobody, you know, because what would have happened in real life is somebody would try to kill him for even looking in this white woman's direction.
It.
Something, you know? But then he takes his white woman to an all-black juke joint where Gary Clark Jr. is, you know, he's also in the film and he's playing mm-hmm. the guitar and on stage and he's singing down.
It was a good scene.
Great. It was a good scene. But then they let this white woman get on stage and do her thing. With
and
all
that's
this,
when
and
you
I
lost
just,
me. Not
that's
only
when I said
did
no.
you take, not on, you know what? No. Not only did you write for this black man on the only scene where he has agency to go do something he chooses to do, you take mm-hmm. him to a white club.
Yep.
Then you connect him with this white lady, which I actually do yep. think Nat Clifton married a white lady. I couldn't determine
oh,
from,
did
the,
he?
From my search results, but
I can't either. I was looking, I know he had
I looked
three
it up
four
to be
kids.
Like, I know you didn't just write no fake shit like that. So
yeah,
I think
yeah.
maybe he did marry a white lady.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That's I'm
I mean,
giving
I don't,
the
I
filmmaker
find,
the benefit of the doubt because I'm
yeah,
like, I know
I couldn't
you
find any
make
photos
no
and
like
stuff
that.
Online of his like family, but I did see that it's confirmed that he has children. That was like in his obituary. So I was like, oh, okay.
Oof. Well, you put him in the white club, connect him with a white lady, then you have him go to a black club with the white lady. And have everybody in the black club sit and watch this white lady sing? Like she?
Are y'all crazy?
Oh, please.
In what world would this have happened in 1948,
1950? It's making
when,
me mad.
Where?
That's my, yeah, that's my headline just, for this review.
And in America? They're not in Paris. In America?
Right. It's pissing me off.
That's not
going to
happen.
Bad.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I can see why that's Shirley's favorite scene.
Yeah, that really rubbed me the wrong way. That was yeah. like, because that's the best I can come up with. That was crazy.
And so further on the fucked up like racial dynamics of this movie, mm-hmm. not the dynamics that are purely reflective of the time, but the
of the time,
complete,
right.
The writer of this movie, his mm-hmm. complete misunderstanding of race in America yeah. and the historical like time. Of what that mm-hmm. meant. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All the white people, we get so many scenes of a room full of white people or two white men off by themselves talking about yeah. should we integrate, should we not? That's half the movie.
That
but
is
nothing's actually interesting. It would be actually mm-hmm. interesting to give these white men real character, right?
Right,
and
right.
have them be like actually having some type of character desire. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. oh, we're low on ticket sales. But it's just general
yeah,
mishmash. Like,
yeah,
it's just mush.
Mm-hmm.
And
not even if you wanted yeah. to throw a dog a bone, even though I know this was not the case, because it's morally right, right? Even
yeah.
if that's what their mission was. I know that was not what was happening, for real. Mm-hmm. But like, even if, you know, just if you want to make a motivational biopic, that's something you can throw in there and give these characters. But that mm-hmm. wasn't even a thing. It was just, let's integrate.
Yeah.
Because at the time, and that's
or
what happened.
It was really
more like,
let them play. Come
let
on.
Let them play.
Let
yeah.
them play.
yeah. yeah.
And the writer of this movie made a society, created, manufactured, fabricated mm-hmm. a society of white people in 1940 mm-hmm. something that were either vehemently racist, you were either vehemently racist, or
yeah.
you were an ally. That's a damn, that's not even true today. The vast majority of white people do not fit in either of those buckets. They are complacent and do nothing and just don't want to change anything. They shut up, don't challenge nothing, don't speak up, and stand there and enjoy their privilege. There was no representation of that. Like, everybody in the room had such a strong opinion about integration. Mind you, this is a decade before the civil rights movement really. This is before Brown versus Board.
I was saying,
separate but equal.
We're still separate. Martin is still in college.
Like, it's a complete misunderstanding of the historical context of what the hell was going on.
You're right. Yeah. Even Malcolm running. Malcolm might have been in jail at this point. He's still running the streets in his zoot suits and carrying
still
on.
Still Detroit Red.
Detroit Red. Like, at that point. That is such a good. Because if you're going to do a period piece, especially one of this nature, where it's like, as a Black viewer, it is so obvious in many ways what was actually going on during this time period, but that world is not reflected in this movie at all.
Back during those times, people used to be racist and mean.
Yeah.
So think about that. That was
you know, it's a good example of that. When they go to the bus runs out of gas and they end up at this gas station.
So glad you brought this up. Dying to talk about it.
And the owner is like, oh, come on now, boy, you can't take your Black ass out of here and pump your gas. The white owner comes off the bus. Do you know who this is? This is Nat Clifton. As if he cares. And then the scene ends with the white owner of the gas station asking Sweetwater to autograph his handkerchief for his wife.
It just didn't make any sense. And you know what made that scene worser for me?
Yeah.
Is so we have this scene where they stop at the gas station. This is just the Globetrotters, which is a few Black men. And they are white Jewish coach / founder. Stop at the gas station. I guess they all take turns of who's going to pump gas. It's Sweetwater's turn. Sweetwater comes off the bus, puts his hand on the gas pump, but the owner of the station has his big ass rifle. And he's like, well, you better not do that, boy. You know, don't touch me with your dirty, you know,
Negro hands. You can say it.
I can say that one. Don't touch it with your dirty Negro hands. And so Sweetwater is like, I got money, I'll pay you. Just let me pump the gas. And it escalates. And it's obvious this white man is very willing to open fire. He's a backwoods white man who probably never even seen no niggas for real. Like, and has just, that's just how racist minds work. They have rehearsed and practiced and fantasized about the day that they get an opportunity to like,
to confront a Black
person. Do violence on a Black person. So the coach gets off the bus and tries to talk the white man down. And that's the scene you just described. Immediately after this scene, the next scene, they go to a hotel. The team is in the lobby and the hotel clerk denies them going to the hotel, like denies them rooms, even though there is vacancy, says you can't stay here. I had such an issue with this because both of those scenes back to back, not only did they do double racism, both of the scenes positioned the, what was his name? Was it Al? I forget his name all over again.
His name is Abe.
Abe. They position Abe as a white savior of like he's really stood up for them like that. Like he really was
even
like.
Even though he cheated them out of their money after every game. Like what is he really, come on.
Like.
Because he brings up, you're going to let a monkey stay here, but you can't let my guy stay.
Right.
Well, pay your guys some money, more money. Like, what do you want me to do? If you're going to be good on both fronts.
Be right? All the way
not
good.
Not just when you wanted,
It just made me upset that the writer had such a lack of empathy, lack of understanding, lack of knowledge, and lack of research on this subject and on Black people to the point where when racism comes up, you will notice in the movie, when racism comes up, the Black characters go silent because this writer cannot represent what Black people feel. when we're racism.
Right, right.
Like,
yeah.
So, yeah. So he just writes for the black person to go silent and for the white person to step in because to it's a fantasy. Yeah. It's a white fantasy of what, I'm such a good white person. This is what I
what
would
have happened.
If a racist
I was there and it was 1949, I would have gave him a piece of my mind.
You wouldn't have done a damn thing. You would have talked about it at lunch the next day and said, poor thing. That's what you would have did.
The fella slept there on the bus last night, but I was able to check in. They let him park the bus out front though. Let him stay out there. So, that's what would have happened.
So movie was already real bad at that point.
And we still at this point have another like hour and a half before the league is even integrated, and we learn nothing new about Sweetwater in that hour and a half.
You took there's two types of biopics. There's we're covering a lot of years here, so we're gonna need 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. That's something like Ray. We're covering all the way, all the way. Mm-hmm. So
right,
and then
right.
there's slice of life. Like there's biopics that are just about 1 year or 1 week,
like or a few moments. Yeah, like Andra Day when she did the Billie Holiday biopic on Hulu. Yeah. That was kind of a slice of life as well. It went through a good chunk of Billie Holiday's life, but it really focused on kind of like when she was, you know, being ran out of places and being hunted by the FBI for seeing a strange fruit. That was like the bulk of the movie. And I enjoyed that because we really got to see what Billie was going through mentally during that time of, you know, being on the terrorist list number one at that point in time. It was crazy.
Yeah. I also liked the Steve Jobs biopic, not the one with Ashton Kutcher, the one that David
Fincher
wrote.
That's the one I've seen.
Because see, that's actually a perfect example. Yeah. The one with Ashton Kutcher was meant to be like this whole chronological story, like start to finish. And the one that David Fincher wrote was three, with Michael Fassbender, was just three vignettes. And it was the day before, or really the hours leading up to three distinct press conferences, you know, black turtleneck. So it was like the one for the first Macintosh, the one for that ugly cube computer he did after he left Apple, and then the one for the iPhone. It was just showing how he changed and like the relationships between, you know, him and his co-founders and stuff during these different, because it's over the years, but it's also small. So if you write in a story just about, who knows how much time passed in this movie? No title cards.
I could tell
if you're writing a story just about the year leading up to him being drafted to the NBA, you don't need 2 hours for that. That's not 2 hours worth of stuff.
Yeah, you sure don't. And if it's going to be that long, because even we learned nothing about Sweetwater, but there's also other players on the Harlem Globetrotters. I think all of them players in total may have gotten like 10 minutes of speaking time in the whole movie.
Yep.
And most of that time was like them on the court acting silly, doing their little tricks and stuff, like to win the games. That was most of the dialogue that we got.
Except Robert Richard, who is in this movie for some reason.
He is. And I was just like, is that Arnaz? Yep. When I first saw him.
He didn't play no basketball in the movie.
He did not. He was always on the sidelines during the games. He didn't play not a lick of basketball.
No.
Yeah.
But he
was like Sweetwater's bestie, low key. That's what I got from it.
No pivotal moments at all. No like character growth or moments between the black men. You would think that they were non-playable characters in this movie. Like
There's the NPC.
NPCs. When he finally gets traded, like drafted into the NBA, let's talk about that scene. So they were at a barn playing a game, a backwards game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And at this point, Sweetwater had confronted multiple times in front of his teammates to say, why aren't you paying us more? So tensions are a little high. And Sweetwater and the teammates kind of took over the game and like broke from Abe's rules about how to play the game, like how to play along for the game. And at this point, they also know that Abe is paying the white teams to lose.
Oh, yeah.
And to just go along with things, you know?
Yeah.
So this Harlem Globetrotters started out as just how baseball had a Negro League. It started out kind of like that. But then it just turned into like theatrics.
Like an exhibition.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Right. That the players
like
were like, yeah, that's fun and stuff, but we could really ball.
Right.
I could really ball.
Right.
I want to ball for real.
Yeah.
you know? So by this time, you know, tensions are super high.
Side note, do you think LiAngelo could play for the Harlem Globetrotters? The boy is not going to, he's not going to do that.
But I'm going to tell you does a cold he have heart a shot truth that I wish his daddy was honest enough to say to him. Mm-hmm. He is not athletic enough.
Yeah.
It's not his size. It's that he don't train. That Lonzo and Melo have the gift of being slender. So
yes.
They just move around. They real agile naturally. Jello doesn't have that. And he's not tall enough to excuse being slow. So he really needed to pack some chewing gum in his bottom lip and be a baseball player. That's baseball what he player, really huh? needed to do.
Yeah,
but he was stuck on basketball. So the answer is hell no. He don't have it. He don't have that.
Okay.
But he can mop the floor with some scrubs at the YMCA. Tell you that much.
I'm sure he can. He's a good ball player.
He just not at a professional level.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this game is over. They're out in the barn. And then, mind you, we have no idea where they are. No title cards. Don't know where. I don't know.
What city? What state? Who knows?
Who knows? But
how many months into the draft? We don't know.
Who knows? We don't even understand where in the season this is happening or, what is going on? What else is going on with the league? Because we keep
seeing the Knicks practicing, but, for what?
They practice all the time.
Yeah, I thought the season just ended because they did that little championship game. So, what are you doing? This is your offseason, technically. You don't gotta come back for a little while.
Time. No. This movie would have went from worse to okay if they had ended a season and we had went back to Chicago with Sweetwater and saw his neighborhood, saw how he where he went to high school and did that and his friends back home and then started up a new family. And then we were going into am I gonna get drafted for the next season? That would have been interesting. But this feels like it was written by someone who not only doesn't understand Black Americans and America, but also doesn't understand basketball. This is like someone who doesn't watch the NBA. It's bad. Anyway.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
They have this barnyard game. Don't know where, don't know when. This probably didn't even happen. But, I'm talking about the NPC thing. So,
yes.
Abe is there. And he sees Joe, the coach of the Knicks, and this NBA commission guy. They're there, and they're trying to convince Abe one last time, please let us buy Sweetwater's contract. We want him to play for the Knicks.
Yeah.
Abe finally says okay, because they gave him, what was it, $1,200?
Yeah, $12,500. Yeah, $12,500 in 1950. How much is that worth today?
Oh, let's do the calculations.
Yeah, what's 1950 worth today? Come on.
Let me guess. Google 50,000.
Spit it out. You said 50?
Yeah.
Ooh, higher. Today, that's worth a little over $161,000.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Inflation, crazy.
Yeah. Oh, crazy, yeah.
So they gave him $12,000 for Sweetwater's contract. And at this point, Abe and the team were on the bus. Abe comes off the bus, does this deal. So these men are standing on the bus in earshot of this deal. And you don't even get a scene of them trying to peek out the window to see what the hell's going on. They're grown men. They're not children. Why wouldn't they just come off the bus and say, hey, what you doing? What's going on? And Abe comes back on the bus to give Sweetwater the news. But something about it felt like the movie treated these men like children, like non-playable characters, just seen and not heard. Mm-hmm. Because for someone else to make a decision like that 20 feet away from you, as if it's like that's a base level disrespect of the characters that I feel.
That's a good call out, and I agree with you.
So Sweetwater's on the Knicks now. There was some hubbub because apparently they wanted him to be the first Black player to play in the NBA, but the night before Earl Lloyd did it, and he wasn't supposed to because the schedule changed last minute.
Let's see.
Sure. That's news to me. I don't know how historical that is.
If anything, this movie made me want to go back and do my own research. Because I just felt like a lot of this was not well looked into. So I'm going to go back myself and really get into like the nitty gritty of the integration. I know somebody got a TikTok series out there for me to watch about when the NBA was integrated. I'm going to go find that. So
I hope so. Because I want the truth, because I don't feel like I was given the truth. He goes out and plays.
It's also like, because I couldn't find this. Does Nat Clifton, did he do like his own like memoir or something? Because where would they have even pulled this information? Like it is accurate that in the end of his life, he was a cab driver in Chicago, but like it was just fantasy. All we know that we know for sure was accurate was him being a cab driver. Everything else felt like a fantasy.
And the white journalist getting into the cab was also unnecessary because why could he have not been black? Why did it have? Why couldn't it have been a young black man just get in the back of the car and say, "Oh, you were Sweetwater"? Like
you were sweet.
Every
uh-huh.
chance, this movie is just like completely devoid of like black like community, like black culture,
and for
black
sure.
people. It just has characters who are black. Ugh,
and that's it. And the title is it's a black man thick name. That's really it. And he's on the poster art, you know, doing his signature under the leg ass thing. Yeah.
So him being drafted isn't even a big moment, really, because not for Sweetwater, at least, because for him, the experience of it was he got pulled off the bus early. Like somebody said, "Your mama here to come pick you up."
Right, come pick you up.
you a car rider today.
She here. I had something to say today on the bus.
Yeah.
Fine. I guess I'll see y'all tomorrow. That's how that would go.
Because that's literally what happened. Like, Abe came on the bus and said, "All right, come on, let's go." That's the moment they chose to give Sweetwater. But the white men get this moment where they get to pat themselves on the back like, "We just integrated.
We did it.
The NBA.
We just integrated the National Basketball Association. We did it. Yeah."
And it's like,
look at us.
Please. And Sweetwater gets there, and you know the first game he has is tough because the refs like call like bullshit fouls. Well, some of the fouls are bullshit, like he was holding, but
he did. He grabbed that man's jersey, and even I knew you can't do that. That's not something you can do. Yeah,
but other things were not fouls. It's just like you just never seen these honkies do this.
Never seen no shit like this. They don't be dunking and stuff. Yeah. And that was another thing that rubbed me the wrong way. Y'all telling me these white men came up with all of these trick names and stuff? Let's call it the dunk, or let's call it
and
the
you know
3-point
what's real bad?
Shot.
He was not the first person to dunk in the NBA.
See, oh, gosh.
I looked that up. He was not the first.
Who was
it? Dunk. I don't know. Somebody way while ago.
Oh, let's just call that the dunk. Like you dunk a donut. And I was like,
it was ridiculous.
Oh my
That's why
God.
I said it was like a DCOM. It was like a Disney
It was
channel.
A DCOM.
It was.
Honestly, this might have went up on Disney Channel Black History Month 2003.
Oh, yeah. If
this
they shaved 30 minutes off the runtime, hell yeah. Right after this The Color of Friendship, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. This would, and they would have had Arnaz playing like a young Sweetwater because that was like, he was real hot back then.
And I take issue because we have another, speaking of young Sweetwater, we have another flashback when Sweetwater needs some inspiration to keep trying. Even though the ref is giving him problems, we get another flashback to him at high school here in Chicago. I live in Chicago on the South Side, and he played a great game.
How is that school pronounced? Is it Disable? Disable?
I don't know. Dusab?
Dusab? I'm asking you.
I don't know. I don't know. Don't get me in trouble.
Okay. You're right. Never mind.
I don't know. But he went to that school. Anybody listening from Chicago, you know what I'm talking about. Please correct us. Please.
Please give us the pronunciation because I don't know.
I don't know. And we get a flashback of him in the locker room after a game in high school. And his coach pulls him into his office and goes, "Hey, you play good, but don't ever play like that. That's not how you play. You got to respect the rules, respect the game. Don't play your game." And that inspired him. How the fuck we gonna get a motivational fucking speech from a flashback from a coach we never fucking met in the whole movie with no name? Coach ain't even got
no
name.
No name, just coach. Coach
That's
back in
your
the day
moment.
Said that. Yes. Yeah, that was another, ooh, this gives them a little bit more info into who Sweetwater was as a person. Let's give them another 2.5 minute flashback.
If he had turned this script into me, printed out, double spaced, I would have gave it back full of red. you need to edit this.
Red with question marks, huh?
Question marks all over the bitch.
It's everywhere.
Great what? First draft. See me after class. After class. That's what I would have said. For real? How do you fit cotton in this?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm back crazy. On that shit.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie. He plays his mm-hmm. game and he's happy to be in the NBA. We get some, now we have title cards at the end of the movie. He played 8 seasons in the NBA and, you know, he was one of the first black men to mm-hmm. integrate the NBA. Then we get some real clips of Nat Clifton.
Of Sweetwater, yeah.
Like, actually driving around.
He was nice.
Yeah, it was really nice.
I was like, wow, go ahead.
And, you know, he gives us some... And then we get what the real point of the movie is from this white man, this white writer director. The real point of the movie is there's a clip mm-hmm. that Nat Clifton says, you know, here in America, you know, you can, no matter who you are, you can work hard and be what you want to be. Which, sure, yep. if he believed that, sure. But for you not to even have any critical thought in your brain about the fact that this man who you, I'm talking to the writer now, who you know is a legend, is important to sports history mm-hmm. and black history. And to have no critical thought about the fact that he died driving a cab.
A cab, yes.
Mm-hmm. No thoughts at all. Just vibes. Yeah. Be what but you want to be in
America. You know, yeah. No matter your circumstances, no matter your background, no matter where you're from, it's yeah. You go out there and you do you, Glenn Coco.
One second. Mhm. Yeah. So
that was the movie.
What the hell you want me to do with it? That's what I ask.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? I hope it's not be impressed. Anyway. So it made me mad. I would have been much more gentle on it if the director was black, but a black director would have never came up with no shit like this.
I agree.
Just wouldn't have happened. So that's that. Girl, you don't have to watch this. If you just listen to this whole review, you got what you need. And you go
you
do good. The click hole.
You heard what happened.
And actually mm-hmm. look at his Wikipedia and his stats and stuff.
Yep. If I find a TikTok series mm-hmm. about Sweetwater, I'm going to post it on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And we can do that when this comes out. I got to look for that.
Yeah.
That can happen. Yeah.
I like that.
I'm going to look into that. So y'all can get the inside scoop.
After all is said and done, it is a movie with actors. So I want to ask you, Sydney, who came to act?
Yeah. We're going to keep it short and sweet this week. Also because we didn't really have because on this show, we only award black actors with this award. So there are only a few we could really nominate this week. But
with enough damn lines.
That said, but I do think that this actor did do a good job with what he was given. That, you know, it's not his fault. This is what he was given. Acting is gig work. You gotta get in where you fit in.
Yeah.
So I would like to nominate Mr. Everett Osborne, who played our titular character, Sweetwater, for this week's Who Came to Act Award. And I actually would like to see him in some other projects. I think if nothing else, he kind of embodied in my mind, maybe body language wise, what a black man was doing in 1950. So yeah,
he nailed that.
That worked. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he did great. It was a delight. His acting, his portrayal of Sweetwater. So shout out to him and congrats to him on his nomination for the Who Came to Act Award. And shout out to y'all for coming here. Our first biopic. Yes. Is everyone excited?
Yes.
Now still?
Yes.
Yeah.
Some, yeah, I need to, yeah. I'm gonna find this. We're gonna find another biopic. Somebody make something for us to watch. Another biopic. And,
yeah. That's our tagline for real here. Somebody make something for us to watch.
That's true. For real.
Something I could put on when I'm eating dinner. Yeah,
something I could put on. You know, we appreciate that.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's get out of here.
All right, bye, y'all.
Thanks for listening. To join in on the conversation, meet us in the Twitter streets at TNCCpod or over on Instagram at New Chitlin Circuit, spelled C-H-I-T-L-I-N. And to keep up with our latest, visit our website at thenewchitlincircuit.com.